the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Well, a lot of people made fun of me last week because somebody took a photo of me in a less than flattering position and it put it on social media. And that person is Michaela Bowen. Bowie, hello.
Tom King, how you doing?
This is the Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW style. Now, I just want to say right now, have you reached out to Emily Borg to say, I think you're a little bit stiff?
No, I haven't. I have no personal connection with her. Meg Mack actually spoke on the AFLW debrief with Kelly Underwood last night, and Meg Mack's call was that it was also stiff. So if the skipper's saying that, then Borg, I am sorry.
Yeah,
but also...
What goes around comes around.
Certain decisions through the game, and I'm like, we've had moments like that before where we've lost a game because of that, so... The footy gods were there.
The one that sticks out, and you weren't yet a cat.
I think it was in the game I was playing for West Coast. You make it Maddie McMahon.
Maddie McMahon.
I was playing in that game.
Yes.
So we got given that ball, and yeah, Matt, that, all the girls are speaking about it. I'm like, no, I was there. I was just on the opposition team.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the look.
It's rough, isn't it?
The incredulous. We had a photographer there that day. Incredulous look on Maddie McMahon. And I've known Maddie for a long time. I coached her in basketball.
One of the greats.
She played a lot of basketball with my wife. And it takes a lot to upset Maddie.
And, doesn't it just?
And the umpire that day did.
Yeah.
Like the umpire's upset one of the most nicest people in the world.
What was the circumstances of that game? It didn't win.
It was
West Coast year the game, was did it? It? It would have been either 20.
Was it 19 or 20?
Yeah, 19 or. I'm thinking it might have been 21, to be honest.
Okay.
That would have been my second season. And I remember we flew over to Geelong, I'm pretty sure, in my second season. Then Geelong flew over to WA for my third season. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would have been 21. And I don't think it won West Coast the game.
I'm just having a look.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the 2021 season.
Not like on the weekend for us. It wasn't a...
Geelong had been battling, I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but they still got over us. I think it was Darcy Maloney kicked the winning goal against us, actually. Sorry, I keep saying us. I now have played for both teams. I'm confirming I'm talking about Darcy Maloney for Geelong.
That's 2021.
Yeah.
2021 was West Coast belted Geelong.
Yes,
at Mineral Resources Park.
Yes, right. And so when... It must have been 2020 then.
Right. Pre-COVID.
Yeah, that
must have been very early in the season then.
Must have, yeah.
Because obviously, as we know, the season got...
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
I'm pretty sure I remember playing for West Coast, let me confirm. When I was playing for West Coast, we got beaten by Geelong the first time, and then we played them another time. That was over in Mineral Resources Park, and we, West Coast, beat Geelong. Is that correct? No.
You didn't play him in 2020.
When am I thinking?
I thought it was the
first year, maybe.
I didn't think it was against West Coast, but obviously if you played in it.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone down a rabbit hole here.
We've absolute rabbit hole, right, as we do, and we usually don't do it about footy, but here we are.
Come back. Yeah. if you came here for footy chat, well, you've got some, but it'll get to life chat eventually.
Speaking about something completely random in about 20 seconds.
Yes, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, look, Maddie McMahon was not happy.
Yes, I can imagine.
I thought it cost you a lot. I thought it was against an Adelaide or something like that, and it cost you long the ability to go to the other end and try and win the game.
It may have been. Maybe my recollection is off. I watched it and thought I was actually in
you've
it.
Inserted yourself into a game you may not have played in. Anyway, that's by the by. But poor Emily Borg.
Yes, yeah, that's a shame.
But you got to kick a goal, so that's nice.
I did get to kick a goal. It was one that was literally put in my lap. And Top of the square.
Which you need to be.
Is that a difficult goal to kick? Yes, but not when you're that close. Kick through the footy.
Just
follow through.
Kick through the imaginary line.
No celebration, though. I had a comment from my housemate. He's like, yeah, no silly. I'm like, I can't celebrate that. That is rude. Also, it's a very controversial call, and there is still a lot of time left in the game.
Mm.
I'm not sitting there shushing the crowd at that point, and I don't think I would celebrate like that either, to be honest.
I watched the last 3 minutes. You did hang on for dear life, didn't
you? Absolutely. I think it won, not at one point, it would have been... I have to tell you a story about Ashley Maloney. I saw her yesterday at Polo Chicken in Geelong. Have you ever been there? Polo Rotisserie.
Where?
Packington Street.
Good.
The best roast chicken you will ever have, King.
Really?
That's your homework from me.
I've got to go and have that.
Yeah, full chicken and gravy roll.
Yum.
Oh, no, it's different to anything you've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's divine.
So which end of Paco? West or Newtown?
Kingy.
Towards
look across.
Okay.
And
you've been here 4 years.
No, it doesn't matter. I lived towards in Perth for 20-odd years.
Towards
no
the river? Or
it's near, do you know, Folklore?
Yes.
Oh, Geelong Fresh Foods.
Oh, yeah, Geelong West.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's two doors down from Geelong.
Do you know what
Geelong
the divider is between Newtown and Geelong West?
That's what I'm here for you to tell me.
Aberdeen Street.
Okay.
So Aberdeen Street runs off. So Ryrie becomes Aberdeen once mm-hmm. you go over Latrobe Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
And then it runs up the guts all the way to basically Finesford.
Right.
To Geelong College Prep School. And that
divides
Newtown.
Yeah, we do a lot of training
Newtown.
At Geelong College. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Divides. Okay. Well, here we are.
Geelong West.
We've gone down a chicken rabbit hole.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? I was telling you something.
Ash Maloney.
Why was it? Oh, we're talking about the last couple of minutes. Here we go. Last couple of minutes, Port v Geelong. We've just kicked a controversial goal, but a goal's a goal. And all of us, as you mentioned, last 3 minutes, I think there was myself playing half forward. I was in D50. Jackie Parry in D50. You had Kate Sermon, D50. All of us forwards getting back to help. Mids getting back to help. Ashling, rightly so, was sitting on the other side of all the congestion because if we get the ball out, we need something to kick to. So I love that from her. But I was sitting down actually at Polo Chicken with Kate Darby, Georgie Rankin yesterday just to get a feed after some recovery. And Ashling Maloney walks past. I had a great chat to her and we were debriefing the game as we always do. And she goes, I had no idea of the score at that point in time. She had no idea. She's like, oh, it doesn't matter if they kick a goal, we'll still be up by like 3 or 4 points.
Oh, no.
I was like, Lingy.
They would have led by a point.
I think it was if they kicked a goal earlier on, it would have been a draw, but they kicked a point, which is a very crucial point for them because if they then rebounded it back and kicked a goal, lost for Geelong. Lingy had no awareness, which...
Is that a worry?
I think, do you know, I actually reflected on the fact that when I was playing for Geelong versus West Coast at Icon Park, it was my first clash since moving clubs, similar situation, I thought we were a lot closer than we actually were. So when West Coast kicked a goal, my heart sunk. And then when the siren went, I was like, why are we celebrating? It's a draw. Anyway, we'd won. It's so easy. And I think the scoreboard at Alberton Oval was interesting. They had the time right next to the countdown clock. So you got confused whether or not we were looking at the countdown clock or the time.
So you got a countdown clock there, have you?
Yeah.
So you knew how much time was left?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And
that's not de rigueur for AFL and AFLW.
Yeah, and the boards obviously as well on the sidelines. We were saying that Marcus, who was holding our signage up on the side, had 1 minute up, went for about 4 minutes. I don't know if that was just a sense of urgency that he's wanting to push us, but it's so interesting how much you can get caught up in the rate of play on the field.
It's a massive difference. I know I'm stating the bleeding obvious, but 3-3 is so much better than 2-4.
That's so much better than 3-0. It's, I think
0-3. 3-0 is pretty good.
Apologies. 0-3. 0 wins, 3 losses, as we were before playing, Bombers, Richmond, Port Adelaide now, in a much better position, as you've mentioned. And I think I'm feeling very proud of us for a multitude of reasons, but I think because it's easy to continue that landslide when you're sitting 0-3. And to be deflated by, regardless of whether you're versing North Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney, three of the top teams in the competition. Let me reset with that.
Your mouth is going faster than your brain.
It is. I'm only a couple of days out from the game.
Well, I know that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So bear with me, everyone listening. Thank you. But as I was mentioning, very proud of the group because I feel like we could have gone down speaking of wormholes, a very big wormhole in terms of performance and letting numbers get the better of us. So stoked to be able to turn that round.
All right. So Hawthorn Thursday night, I think they're trying to turn that in now to a tradition, a bit like Easter Monday for the men.
Yeah.
That the Thursday of AFL men's grand final week will be Geelong and Hawthorn.
Is it specifically Geelong Hawthorn?
Well, I think they're looking at trying to make that.
Love that. Because last year it was incredible.
Yeah.
I remember the game being called as one of the best AFLW games being played.
Yeah.
Which is not only great for Geelong and Hawthorn, but the entire competition and everyone watching in terms of the game's growth.
Can I give you some good news?
Please.
Time for us to start broadcasting AFLW now that our local commitments are coming to a conclusion. So we call local footy on carrickfootball.live. So if you want to listen to Geelong AFLW on your phone or through your smart speaker or whatever, you can do that on carrickfootball.live, AFL app as well.
Love that.
So,
so awesome.
Yeah, so our second year of committing in a way, I know people say, well, you're not fully committed. No, we're not, but we're sort of constrained by what else we're doing. But we will do 5 of the last 6 games. So the 4 at home that remain.
Yeah.
Road trip to
WA.
WA.
back my way?
Oh, no. So Ballarat, you got in before me. We're going to Ballarat. We're not going to WA.
I thought one... what am I thinking? Here, I'm still asleep, yeah. Clearly.
I'm shattered, though, because I found out what ground you're playing at against the Eagles, and I realised it's not Lath Lane.
No, Leederville Oval. Yes. Why the reaction?
Which has the most beautiful Art Deco grandstand.
Right.
You've not been to Leederville?
No, I have. I've played lots of footy there.
That grandstand is beautiful.
You think?
Art Deco.
I don't think it's any different from another grandstand.
I love Art Deco. We called a men's community series game there in about 2019 between the Cats and the Eagles. The Eagles actually had a young fella called Oscar Allen who I thought, gee, I think this kid's going to go all right.
Hopefully he hangs around for him.
I don't think so.
Yeah, far out.
So we're not doing that game.
I'm actually not coming to WA, Ballarat instead.
We're going to Ballarat.
Ballarat's after West Coast, am I correct on that? Yep. I should know that.
Three consecutive at home.
Yep.
Trip to Perth.
Yep.
Trip to Ballarat.
Home.
And then home to finish against the D's, which hasn't been
TBC
fixtured yet. Yep, I've got a sneaking suspicion that might prove to be the Sunday Channel 7 game.
Yeah, okay.
Because there might be so much on the line. The D's might be playing for top spot or a home final.
Yep.
And you guys might be playing for either, maybe top four if things get moving or a home final. There could be plenty on the line.
Absolutely. Kingy, you mentioned that 3-3 is a better standpoint for you to call the game. What are your thoughts? What would you say if we were still sitting 0-3? Is that hard to speak about?
Or if you were 0-6.
Yeah, far out.
It's not hard to speak about. It just, you probably at 0-6, your season's probably done.
Yeah, by that point.
You're like Richmond.
The commentating moments.
You're just.
So interesting, Richmond. I have...
Yeah, what's happened there?
Yeah, I have decent connections. I'm also meant with a few of the girls are at the club, Ellie McKenzie specifically. We went through a bit of our juniors together and had a bit of a moment with her after the game just to, reassure her of her own input, performance, leadership. It's hard. And I think that's, what they'd be sitting 0-6. They are 0-6 now.
They're 0-6. I think they got the worst. They're the only winless team in the comp.
Unfortunately for them. Made finals last year, turn around to this year, and it's winless at the moment, which, as I have experienced myself at West Coast, it's a very complicated spot to be in because most of your week is spent figuring out not only, not necessarily how to win, but how to be better, good enough to compete consistently for four quarters. I think if anything against Richmond, in all due respect, that was probably what we felt, is that there were patches that we were really tested, and other times where it probably felt like we were able to, as Geelong, maintain a lot more composure and control with the footy in hand. I've been on both sides of that, Kingy, in terms of being the team that just can't get the ball off anyone. Again, going back to West Coast, we were playing Collingwood, and I remember it was probably my first exposure to kick, mark, probe kind of footy where it's like you cannot get the ball off them. And at that point in time, you feel pretty much like training cones when a team's doing that to you. But it's a pretty good feeling to be on the other end of that.
You don't realise right now Geelong have the second best run other than North Melbourne in the comp, the three consecutive wins.
Really?
Yep. So obviously the Roos are unbeaten.
Well, Melbourne would have, but they just lost to Port last week.
That makes your Port win very good.
Yes. You were talking Melbourne, I thought. Port beat Melbourne. Yep. We beat Port. Yep. Great.
The circle of life.
The circle of life.
Did you see the crowd at Henson Park for the Swans and the Giants?
7,000 odd? Yeah. Massive. Yep.
And it's a beautiful little... I know you played there last year.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
It's a beautiful ground.
Yeah, and that was, again, spoken about on the W show last night. Kelly Underwood brought up to Meg, almost questioning, what is it? What can other Victorian clubs be doing better? I'm sitting there thinking, the sun. Victoria can be doing the sun better. That's, it's such a nice environment to be sitting there on a hill watching, AFLW footy. And again, a team that's having an enormous run in this season and an enormous amount of growth. And just enjoying the sun, watching the footy, and just being with your family. It's an incredible environment. I think something that they have and they're making the most of that advantage that they have.
Did you journal kicked winning goal on Saturday night?
I didn't.
Did you journal?
No, I actually didn't journal Saturday night. More so because we were away and I was like, I'm watching the men's grand final. finished up pretty late, and I'm like, if anything I can prioritize right now is sleep. So
I
didn't journal before the game. I haven't journaled yet because I feel like I'm just trying to pull myself together a bit after a pretty big weekend, but I'll get on top of that tonight for you, Kingy.
The 5-day turnaround, does that make things really different? Does that really put a bit of pressure on your S&C and all that?
Absolutely. It absolutely does. But I said, I mentioned to Mum this morning that I personally love...
Hi, Mum.
I love a 5-day turnaround. I think, you know, it's almost like if we were sitting 0-6, you'd almost be not wanting a 5-day turnaround. Yeah. But when you've... from a team perspective, got some really good performance, and you've got a lot of members of the group playing some really good footy. Like the more you can back up games, the better. And I just think for me, it's so cool to have yesterday off. Today is a bit more of a mild day. Tomorrow we will have a bit of a hybrid kind of craft slash get some contact in, and then Wednesday look to have a captain's run because we play on Thursday. So you know, and just in the bigger picture, it's just a massive week for the footy club. So everything just goes so quickly this week. We had a similar experience in 2022 when we played St Kilda on the Thursday night.
Yes.
I think it was Geelong's biggest ever score. We ended up against the Saints at GMHBA and got a massive turnout there in terms of the crowd as well, because I think Geelong people just want to be around the footy club.
That's the hope for Thursday night.
Absolutely. 7,000 Henson Park, 10,000 GMHBA. Well,
that would be great.
It would be amazing.
You know, look,
shouldn't even laugh about it. It would be amazing.
They'll open the Premiership stand and the Brownlow stand.
Yep.
It would be great if they go, gee, we have to open the Selwood stand here. Mm. And we need the overflow.
Mm.
You know, there's no reason why there can't be a decent crowd. There's a public holiday the next day.
You know,
there'll be people who haven't got tickets to see the men on Saturday. So
yeah, that just want to be around it. I think that's what we're pushing for as well in terms of media and communications. And that's a lot of the media that's upcoming this weekend has been like, shout it out. I'd like tell people to come down, you know, spread the word around, because it's a pretty special time to be around the footy club.
Absolutely. Do you feel it? Do you feel the vibe?
It's a buzz.
Yeah.
It's an absolute buzz. And that's what I mentioned, 2022. I think it just had such a massive impact on the way that we felt as a group on that Thursday night against St Kilda. And not only just the lead up to the grand final, I think, because the boys have had such momentum, and we all over in Adelaide watched the game together for as long as we could. I think the TV had some interruptions, so we all ended up in our own rooms, but we all watched the game before going to bed that night. It's like you're sitting there watching the boys, watching Patrick Dangerfield just absolutely come out of
Superman cape.
Iron Man shell almost, and just absolutely dominate. And so you sit there as a player and as you know, lucky enough to be a part of the Geelong Football Club, and want to be a part of that and want to continue that for the club.
What made you smile this week?
What made me smile this week? Oh my God, I have to tell you, Mum is listening. Mum messaged me because Mum came over last week.
Did
and
she?
I'm sitting here being
when?
She missed the potty. She left on the Wednesday morning. We pottied on Thursday.
Oh.
Yes.
So next time Mum's here.
Yes.
And we'll record.
We've mentioned.
Mum's coming.
Because I'm sure the audience has heard more about my mum than other topics.
Mum's coming on.
Mum messaged me and goes, I not the thing that made you smile this week?
Do you know what we should do? Get both our mums.
Yes. That would be amazing. Mum's edition.
Yep.
Mother's Day's passed, hasn't it?
Yeah, well.
Well passed.
Yeah, that was back in May.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that was my moment for last week that I said to you. I'm like, King, can I think about it? Can you?
Yeah.
Mum messages me and she's like, what do you mean? What made you smile this week? I was just over with you. I'm like, oh. Anyway, what made me smile?
Because it was too obvious.
Well, I think so. Yeah. I think it was like she was here for an extended amount of time. I'm shouting her out now and I'm sure she'll be listening to it. Extended amount of time. Yeah. And just holistically, I loved it. I was trying to think specific. That's my excuse for Mum. But this week, what has made me smile since last Thursday, which is a very short turnaround.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only 4 days. We only did this 4 days ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot has
happened since. Absolutely.
In 96 hours.
Yeah, a lot can go down. What has made me smile this week? It hasn't even been a week, Kingy.
Made you smile in the last 4 days? Surely Lingy not knowing the score made you smile, or did that just frustrate you?
That was just a lack of awareness thing, and I'm probably thinking something that I would, you know, probably get up to myself, to be honest. Oh, Kingy, it's killing me. I've got to be more, this is what I got to do, this is what I got to start doing with my journaling.
Can I give you mine?
You can, because this is how we always start, and then I start thinking of something.
So the men had their open media session today, and lots of TV cameras, you know, lots of activity in the up in the president's room, lots of players, you know, jump in, get interviews, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, I've had the K-Rock microphone in in shot.
Yeah.
And in the family chat, my daughters both, within 30 seconds of each other, but on separate devices, to my children, get off your freaking phones on school holidays and go and do something. But anyway, they both said, great job, Dad.
Cute.
The K-Rock microphone.
Cute. That is so cool. Far out.
So I
you always have really wholesome moments.
Oh, thanks.
I love that.
I still haven't taken that photo in front of that tree, though, that I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. That's still got to happen.
For sure.
Got to make that. All right, I've given you time.
You've given me time, and you've actually given me you've made me think
jolted.
As well around. I've already brought her up. Meg Mac, watching her, I think, on the W show last night, debriefing what was – not only a very exciting win for us as a W group, as we mentioned, three on the trot now, but I think in the big picture, Kingy three that Meg Mac has not been a part of, that's something I don't think we've touched on too much, but Meg Mac, our captain and pinnacle of our football club, I have no shame in making that statement about her, got questioned pretty hard on the W show around, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay, give me a look. Got questioned pretty hard in the W show around, you know, what that's feeling like.
Yeah.
You know, it is a pretty big deal.
It's massive.
You know, and not only for one game, to be missing three games in a row and see a turnaround in results. And
I've got a sneaking suspicion because of the 5-day turnaround the captain might play on Thursday.
I really hope so, Kingy.
Yeah.
But I really hope so. But what made me smile the most, I think, was how well Meg held herself.
Yeah.
I think
she's a quality. You don't captain your club if you
at all.
No,
she knows what she's doing. She knows how to speak. She knows how to hold herself. And I think she's just set, you know, the utmost standard for our entire group around how you operate through adversity. And again, not only just with footy, she's been through a hell of a lot off the field, and it never stops her showing up the way that she does. But four or five questions, I think, in a row around her specific situation, and I think that's never easy to answer, you know, person to person, let alone on live television on KO. So she made me smile last night. I think I was so proud of her. I had such admiration and respect for her, as I always have, but especially in that moment. And not that it was a comfortable moment for Meg, but it's definitely something that made me smile.
We talked a bit of music last week.
We did. Pearl Jam.
Did you go anywhere with it?
Well, I didn't need to, because for the listeners that don't know, we sat here for 15 minutes after the recording and I got serenaded with Pearl Jam and Kingy's face. That's what the photo was. For those that saw the photo on my Instagram of Kingy sitting there, and I got a message straight away. We actually weren't following each other on Instagram yet, so now
we
are.
What was going on there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was Kingy, and I actually had a photo of Kingy sitting there, eyes closed, just absolutely jamming to his favourite Pearl Jam song.
Yes, I was.
Which was very cool, and I actually loved it. Hat off to you. I didn't think it was too heavy. So I've got to get you onto some Drake next.
Yes, you do. Yeah, because the only Drake song I know is Started From The Bottom,
yes.
Which everybody else knows.
Yes, a classic.
Yeah, and it is a very, very good song.
That's a great song.
The video clip, that's cheesy.
I'm not into much of the clips.
I love my music.
Music videos.
Music videos, yeah. I am YouTube rabbit hole.
Would Pearl Jam have – they would have more performance music videos, though, wouldn't they? I can't see them getting into the artistic side. Or am I
this
wrong?
Is very, no, this is very good from you.
Yeah.
Without knowing. Pearl Jam only supported basically their first album with music videos.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And after that have done very, very minimal music videos to support their music. Probably more their – especially from sort of their second album to about their fifth or sixth album.
Yep.
Not a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that?
I did know, but it's one of those things that I knew as a teenager why they didn't.
Yeah.
And then it went. But
yeah.
Their first album, I think basically all the big songs off their first album were video clips.
Mm.
The video clip for Jeremy is one of the best you'll ever see. I think it won a MTV
Wow
Video Award.
One to watch.
Yeah, so for one, sure. One to watch. Like it's,
Jeremy
yeah.
Pearl Jam.
Jeremy
music
Pearl Jam. The song's fairly heavy.
Okay. Yeah. I remember. I remember at in my younger years. Here I go. That the music videos used to almost push songs out further because of how much people were loving them.
Correct.
So that was, I think that was where I remember seeing Summer Drakes or whatever it was on MTV or Rage or either of those shows where it's like you'd get caught up, it'd be Sunday morning, you're making pancakes and that's just on in the background. And you're sitting there watching music videos and all of a sudden that rings a bell of the song more than the song rings a bell of the music video.
So I grew up when Rage started.
Yeah.
So Rage came out in about 86.
I got that well.
Can you do it again?
Rage.
Like,
it's pretty good.
That is good. And I used to get up on a Saturday morning, even in the middle of winter, and on my first memories of music are 1987, 1988,
At
6:30 getting up, because the top, so the videos would go from midnight.
Yeah.
But it was all random sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then at about, it might have been 5:30, the Australian top 50 for the week.
Yes, right.
Would kick in.
Right.
And then from there you ended up with video hits on Channel 10, all that sort of stuff. And that would then roll out. You'd roll out a Rage basically into video hits. So you always you always had music videos on.
Yeah, in the background.
And that's where my love, because, YouTube, like I find myself, when I should probably be doing other things.
Yeah, rabbit hole.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
It's not Spotify, it's YouTube for me because I like the visual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of some of those videos that have been done.
Yeah, for sure.
Or live performances.
Mm.
Like what?
Yeah, like, definitely.
You know, what Frank Sinatra's My Way.
Talk about bringing things up. When was it? Would have been the way home from, who did we do? Icon Park, Richmond. Yep. Mum's in the car with me. I belted it so loud and I said, Mum, I love this song. In the Green Machine. Go on down the highway to Geelong with Frank Sinatra, My Way playing. And I said to Mum, there's just something about it. I love this song so much. And I know it's so out of my era, but I love it so much.
There's
it's so powerful.
There's two performances. There's one at Caesar's Palace in Vegas.
Wow.
That is worth watching. And one, at, I think it's at Madison Square Garden in New York.
Yeah, fire.
And one of them, he actually stands, I'm going to perform the national anthem, but you needn't rise. And at the same My Way as the national anthem of the US.
Yeah.
It was,
There's very cool.
Something about a good music video.
For sure.
Yeah, that makes a song,
so much better. It's
I don't know, maybe you can create your own interpretation and picture the music in your mind, but sometimes that visual can be,
100%, King. It's really interesting you bring that up because I think one of the first thoughts when I hear My Way is actually a video of Nat Fyfe retiring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I remember there was I'd definitely heard My Way before and loved it, but the impact that I had, so the music had been obviously taken and put over the top of this edit made of Nat Fyfe and everything he's gone through throughout his career and Brownlow years and, you know, he was, my brother was a massive, the biggest Fremantle Dockers fan growing up. My whole family were. I was the only one that went for West Coast. Just wanted to annoy my brother. You know how it is.
Matthew
Pavlich, Nat Fyfe. Yep. And so my brother's heartbroken that Nat Fyfe not only is retiring but had to finish up his career the way that he did and probably didn't get as much as he wanted to out of bad luck with injuries. But it was just such a powerful combination having Frank Sinatra in the background and him speaking over the top of Nat Fyfe's story. And it just made so much sense because Nat Fyfe's way was not typical. It was different to others, but he did it his way.
Yep.
And again, you know, short of winning a premiership, Brownlow is one of the all-time greats of the competition, but did it his way. It was just, I was thinking about it then as you were speaking, Kingy, how much I love editing personally. So I've got my own page going with boxes stuff and being able to edit videos and intertwine that with music that I'm really passionate about, which I just find the feeling that you get from music, you intertwine that with the way that a video feels and the impact is so much broader than one without the other.
So have you got your own editing software and all that, have you?
Not necessarily, no. I like to edit all photos and stuff on Illustrator and whatnot, but I'm still teaching myself that. And then in terms of videos at the moment, like I haven't invested in anything heavily, but it's definitely something that sparked my interest because of how much I love doing it from a surface level. It's great. I really get into all the footy edits, Formula One edits that come out. There's Hamilton the musical.
Yes. It's not about Lewis.
Well, so Hamilton the musical, there's a song. It's like, Hamilton. I haven't seen the musical personally. Yeah. But they put that over the top of like all the edits of Lewis Hamilton's 7-year domination. It's so cool. And we haven't even spoke about the F1 yet.
No,
but here we are.
What happened in Azerbaijan?
Piastri's in a wall.
Yeah.
World champs in a wall. Lando Norris, current runner-up world champ. I think he ended up 8th. Potentially 4 points in the bank, which really doesn't do much in terms of his run to push Piastri. But I think the big picture out of this is Max Verstappen winning. You know, in terms of, I think there's 7 races left in the race calendar. If Max Verstappen can somehow pull off pole for each one of those 7s and, you know, win those races, like,
could
it's
he?
Very much in contention. Absolutely. I don't necessarily back his chances of doing that, but I think the possibility's open because of how certain weekends have gone.
I've just found out there's a Kiwi driving in Formula 1. Never heard of Liam Lawson.
Liam Lawson?
Yeah.
Have you never heard of him?
No.
Did you hear, because he was, it's always drama in Formula 1.
Finished 5th.
We know this. Finished 5th. But the controversy was that, obviously, in a broader space, no one can fill that second seat in Red Bull because there is a unspoken word that the car is specifically designed for Max Verstappen and no one can drive like Max Verstappen. So whoever ends up in that second seat just always ends up bottoming out. I think Daniel Ricciardo would be, you know, at his prime time, he wasn't necessarily in the second seat, but when Max came in, Daniel struggled. You had Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon, and when Liam Lawson came onto the scene, I think he replaced Daniel Ricciardo when Daniel Ricciardo broke his wrist.
Right.
He came into the sister team, which is Visa Cash App Racing Bulls.
Right.
And performed really well in that car. So once Daniel moved on, Liam Lawson replaced Daniel Ricciardo in the second seat of the older sister team, the Red Bull Racing, with Max Verstappen, which was controversial because Yuki Tsunoda, who is now driving for Visa Cash App RB, realistically, I'd say he'd been there for longer. He'd been performing. He was probably the one that was looking likely to get that second seat.
Yep.
But Liam Lawson leapfrogged over him and ended up with the second seat earlier on, or potentially partway through last season, only to find out that, pretty much Liam Lawson really didn't do much at all. I think he was ending up, Max was running P1 at times. He was ending up P20, you know, in a similar /same car as Max Verstappen, so it's hard not to look at the driver in those instances. He ended up losing his seat to Yuki Tsunoda.
Are they really the same car, though?
Well, that's what I mean. I would love to be able to be a fly on the wall and figure out the ins and outs of that.
What are we doing to this bloke's engine that's different to the other bloke's engine?
100%. 100%. Chassis, front wheel, whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's so many different impacts that can influence the way the car drives. And again, so many drivers have different driving styles. And clearly it's just, you know, the way that Red Bull have designed this car around Max Verstappen just does not suit anyone else. And so Liam Lawson went into Red Bull. He didn't do very well, got replaced by Tsunoda, and that was quite like, it felt quite dramatic in that sense because Yuki and Liam didn't get along well. And now Liam Lawson is driving for the said sister team, which is supposed to be a worse car, and has just dominated Yuki Tsunoda in the primary Red Bull seat. So it's a hard seat to fill.
All right. So if you're trying to figure all this out and you're sort of going a little bit crazy at what Bowie's just been talking about, Bowie's actually offering a course at the Gordon to explain.
On the F1.
On F1 to explain.
It's free. Yeah. Free TAFE.
Yeah.
Yes. We love this.
Yes. F1 explained with Michaela Bowen.
They always speak about Max Verstappen and how he Max-plains things. I've just Bowie-splained that whole thing. It's just too much.
So
anyway.
7 races to go.
7 races to go, yeah.
Singapore next.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to go to Singapore.
And then it's off to the Americas.
Yeah. The pig yet? Upside down pig.
The upside down. Where was that? Was that?
Is it Miami?
Or the Circuit of the Americas?
We looked at it last.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it ends up being Miami.
Yeah.
We'll have to follow up.
So earlier in the year.
Yeah. Potentially.
Yes, Miami.
I may have got that wrong.
We'll have a look.
Yes. 7 races left. Yes. I don't doubt that it'll end up being one of the papaya boys up there. If anything, I'd probably prefer if Piastri ended up there being an Aussie boy, but, you know, can't afford weekends like this one.
No. What else were we talking about? Obviously, F1 is... Did you follow the World Athletics Championships?
I've seen it all on my social media. I haven't actually followed it specifically, but I've seen some highlights.
Nicole Oleslagers won the the high jump gold.
Which okay, was wow, fun, I didn't see that. Yeah,
which was a lot of fun last night.
Yeah.
But the best thing was Kai Robinson, the Aussie, finishing fourth in the 5,000 metres.
So what? Can you explain to me the reaction? Because obviously my mind is like fourth is great, but was he an underdog? Did something happen?
Oh no, he just ran the race of his life.
Yeah, wow.
To finish fourth in like a crack 5,000 metre field.
Wow.
And he has just run the most perfect race. And it's funny, I don't know a lot about it. Know three fifths of stuff all about athletics.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, my wife, who does know a little bit, her and I talking, and I said, I think he's positioning himself really well here.
Yeah.
And
throughout the race?
Throughout the race. He he stayed off the pace, didn't overexert, and then he found a kick, and he wasn't far from, you know, probably another 50 metres, and he probably snatches bronze.
Wow.
Which would have been incredible. Wow. Yeah. You sit there and you, I'm sitting next to my wife on the couch, and I just went, I clapped. I said, I'm clapping a bloke that can't hear me clapping.
Wow.
And I said, I'm
sure he'd feel it.
Well done, mate.
Yeah. That's unreal. I saw his reaction. I saw his live reaction to it, which was obviously pure elation.
Incredible.
So cool. So cool.
Incredible. We're going to talk last week, and I think I might hold this for next week. Because we do have a quick turnaround into you playing, and you've got commitments. Although we have gone 35 minutes today, and it's gone very, very quick. Come back to me next week.
Mm-hmm.
Something you can't do that frustrates you.
Mm-hmm. If I've already got it on my mind right now, I'll hold it until next week.
Hold on to
for
it.
For sure.
Because you and I texted.
I can't do that frustrates me.
Yeah, we texted about something.
Yeah.
Actually, what did we text?
I've been thinking about it since.
Retaining what time we're actually doing this podcast.
Yes, that's a weekly.
That's
currently. I actually miss you if you don't message me that once a week. So it comes up, Tom King. I think I said something to you. You spoke about the fact that you couldn't remember. I said, Kingy, I have no idea where I'm going on the road, so we can make up for each other.
Yeah, we can.
I have grace for you.
I will let you go and prepare for a massive game of footy on Thursday night. I can't wait. I expect to see.
Neither
hang on. We've got a couple.
We've missed the last two. I've got them.
Yes, right. So
for the week, before we finish.
What do you want to do?
We'll do Bowie's best first.
Who was Bowie's best?
Bowie's best. Ash Riddell. North Melbourne.
Start.
43 disposal. 44, 40, I think. I think 43 was her previous, and she's hit 44 disposals.
I think they took one off her.
Did they?
To go back to. So she had it. Her and Ellie Anderson, I think, had the equal.
Equal second.
It's equal second now.
Yeah, I think so. And then. Right, so the 44 actually was a 43.
Let me go back. Let me just have a look.
Regardless, I will carry on that it was. Please jump in when you're ready, Kingy. But it ended up being, I think, 9 clearances and a goal as well with that.
44.
Is the 44 still there?
Yep. 20 kicks, 24 handballs, 7 clearances, 495 metres gained.
And a goal,
and only played 85% game time.
Like,
she would have 50 if she had played the whole game.
I actually need to watch the game back, I think, from a bird's eye view. I find it really interesting to do that sometimes, to figure out where she's running, how she's getting involved, what her disposals are like as well, because sometimes I find myself really curious in that around those that are getting the ball lots, how they're using the footy. Is it really benefiting the offense, the defense? Mm. Like, as I mentioned last week, Kingy, that I just love when performances are so well-rounded. And someone that I think of at that, Zali Goldworthy, I think she had 31, 9 tackles, which I love. Nice. I love that balance and kicked a goal as well. I would say it's hard to go past Ash Riddell for Bowie's best this week. Another shout-out to Kiara Bowers, though, 21 tackles. What are you doing? Yeah. In a game, I don't know how much game time she had, but anyway, she is a superhuman.
Been to the Tom Atkins School of Tackling.
Absolutely. She's number one student in there, clearly.
Right. Now, you're going to be really modest because
let me go, please.
Okay, right.
I'm not saying.
Can I give you, all right, your stat line from the weekend. So you actually led Geelong in disposals with 25.
Can we play Pearl Jam over the top of this? Just mic him out, quick.
9 tackles, 6 marks. Kicked a goal, 334 metres gained, a goal assist, 98% game time. Do you remember the 2% you're off for?
Yeah, I do. And I was expecting to be off more.
Right.
As well. But you
played the most game time of anybody.
Mm.
Usually Ash Maloney plays the most
she
game
does,
time.
She does, yeah. Usually she hangs up forward a bit. But
122 fantasy points.
Mm.
But who was the cat that caught your eye? Other than you.
The cat that caught my eye. because the cat that caught my eye, I would say I'm actually going to go honourable mention to Prez this week because
24 disposals, 571 metres gained,
which is interesting because I think statistically you would look at it and be like, Bowie, why would you not put Prez
six clearances
as the cat that caught your eye? And she very much did catch my side eye in a honourable mention. I think, yeah, Prez was all over the ground. I think the commentators mentioned it. It was like her ability to change her mind mid-disposal was incredible, whether or not that was handball, kick, or and was very efficient with the way she used the footy.
Yep.
But the cat that caught my eye this week, Nina Morrison, I think statistically not as high as Prez, but I think as from her as her teammate, she was. We do a voting every week, the Grid Award at the club,
yep,
that just has such an emphasis on the one percenters. And I think Nina just absolutely embodies that for us throughout multiple seasons. But yesterday, specifically, I thought her pressure was. She brought it all day around the field. She was effective with her disposal, clean, composed, and slotted two ripper goals.
Yep, 18 disposals, 9 tackles, 522 metres gained.
9 tackles again, like
79%
game
time.
I love that stuff. Exactly. And, yep, you know, that's what I mean. At the end of the day, she's doing it all for us. And again, she was step and skipper for us yesterday as well. So definitely led the way.
Good luck.
Thank you, Kingy.
I can't wait for Thursday. So Carrick Football.
So we'll both be there.
CarrickFootball.live.
Yeah.
So get your smartphone out or your smart speaker and get CarrickFootball.live up. AFL app as well. Rocky Cranston.
Awesome.
In the experts chair.
So cool.
Down boundary side, Jane Birch. So Birchie looks after our GFNL boundary, but he's going to come and do some AFLW with us, and then some idiot will call the footy play-by-play called Tom King. So that'll be a lot of fun.
You're not allowed to downplay yourself.
I can self-deprecate with the best of them.
No.
I will. I will
not let you.
I can and I will. Bye, Bowie.
Bye, Kingy. See you soon.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.